For our text this morning, we'll focus especially in Romans 8, the verses 3 and 4. And I encourage you to follow along while we go through that. And after the ministry of the word, we will sing from hymn 28, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. A beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we have an opportunity to celebrate the gospel in its most basic form. You cannot get a whole lot more basic than verse 1 of our reading. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you understand what these words mean, if they penetrate your life and they take possession of you, then they are incredibly liberating. And the Lord's Supper confirms that liberation. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it is as if the judge takes us to dinner after the trial is over. He declares us innocent, he declares us righteous, and he takes us to dinner after the trial is over. So the right feeling should be one of relief. But we don't always experience it that way. The gospel doesn't always bring us a sense of joy or relief. And maybe that's because we don't understand how serious our sin is, and we don't spend enough time thinking about that. We don't understand that we have nothing to offer to God in return for what he has done to us. That is why he had to deal with our sin, and he has done so in Jesus Christ. He has judged our sin in Jesus Christ. That's the main idea of our text this morning, and one that I want to spend a few minutes discussing with you, that God has in fact judged our sin. The first thing you should know is that God's judgment means that your sin is real. Sin is real. If there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that means that there is condemnation, terrible condemnation, for those who are outside of Christ Jesus. And it is impossible to escape that condemnation on our own, because it is impossible for us to escape sin. Sin is very powerful. And you can see that from the way that the word law is used in verse 2. Verse 2 refers to the law of sin and death. And in this particular context, the word law means power. See, it's different in verse 3. Their law means the law of God, but in verse 2, when he says law, he's talking about power. Just like we speak about the law of gravity, Paul speaks about the law or the power of sin. And no matter how high you jump, you cannot escape the law of gravity. In the same way, no matter how hard you try, you cannot escape this law of sin and its consequences. And the consequences of sin are God's judgment and his eternal anger and punishment over sin. If you live according to the flesh, you will die, says verse 13. Can't put it a whole lot more clear than that. Now, just knowing that you should do better is not enough. See, in verse 3 of our text, now, Paul uses the word law again, but here he's speaking of the law in the sense of the law of God. And the law of God itself, on its own, cannot save us. A sad but true fact. God's law is good. God's law is an expression of his character. But God's law on its own cannot save us. The problem with this law is that it's weakened by the flesh. That means the law in and of itself cannot change your behavior. The law can only tell you what sin is. It cannot stop you from sinning. You can give someone a list of rules, but as any parent can testify, that will not change behavior necessarily on its own. And that's a great tragedy, because we have this law, this beautiful revelation from God. We all agree that the law is a good thing, but nobody can keep it on their own. It cannot change us. And that is why God himself had to intervene. Verse 3 says that God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. for sin, or as it's also translated, for a sin offering. And so that means God condemned sin in the flesh. That means, first of all, flesh was the place where sin was condemned. In other words, Christ was condemned for human sin in a human body. That's what this verse is saying. If you belong to God, then God has judged your sin in Christ. He condemned it. He punished it. And that's what the bread and the wine symbolize. The bread represents the body of Christ. The wine represents his blood. And it testifies to the violent death that Christ suffered in the flesh. And God did that, says verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. That means, first of all, that God judged and condemned your sin in him in order to fulfill the requirement of punishment. But it means more than that. Because the law does not only demand punishment for failure, it also demands that the requirements of the law are kept perfectly. Both of those things are included in the phrase, the righteous requirement of the law, in verse 4a. Christ fulfilled the law on both of these levels. He satisfied the law by regarding God's punishment, and he satisfied the law regarding perfection. So God has judged your sin and all of your shortcomings, also your day-to-day shortcomings, and replaced them with the righteousness of Christ. One more thing you should know is that God continues to judge your sin. Any sin that we commit is still offensive to God. That does not change. And it still deserves the death penalty. And when we eat the bread and we drink the wine in a few moments, we acknowledge that. The bread and wine give us life. They feed us. But they are symbols of the death that our sins deserve. That sin continues to be offensive to God. And that tension, the tension between being a sinner and being forgiven, will be with us our whole life. But the difference is, sin no longer defines us. We are no longer under condemnation. If I can use that gravity analogy again, it's kind of like when a satellite gets put into orbit, right? There's still the pull of gravity on the satellite, but it is no longer subject to gravity in the same way that things are on Earth, because it's in a different space now. And the same thing is true for us. Yeah, we still live in the world, and we still have the pull of the world of sin in our lives, and we still need to fight that. But fundamentally, we no longer live in the realm of the flesh. We no longer stand under that law of sin and death, because the requirements of the law of God have been fulfilled in us and for us. That truth, if you really think about it, is incredibly liberating. Take some time this morning to let it sink in as you participate in the Lord's Supper, or even if you just watch. And remember that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because God has judged your sin. Amen.